Thank you. Good morning, all together. I'm happy, we are happy to be here, and it's a privilege to talk to you this morning. And this is Franny. As you, can you put up the first slide, please? So, this is Franny and I'm Peter, and we are originally from Switzerland. This red stuff that you see, that's not emergency signs, that's the flags of Switzerland. Now, we are married this year almost 49 years. And next year we will have our 50s. And I tell you a secret, we worked 38 years together in the same office. And we are still alive. So, we have a son, he's taking over my company, and he does very, very well. We have two uncles, Valeria, the girl, she's already 22, and Raphael, he is a guy, he is around 20, and they are doing very well. So that's, I think that's enough for the moment. You will hear maybe today a little bit more. Usually we are starting a service or a sermon always with a proclamation. Can you make the next slide? Proclamation, why? You see here a description, why a proclamation. But I make it short. A proclamation is holding a flag in the invisible world. We are saying, we are here, we are God's children. An enemy, you have to flee, you have not to be here. It's not a place where you're welcome. That's basically a proclamation. Can you go to the slide 3, please? Now, what we are doing, we proclaim together these words. What do you see? Now I have to have an take in Canadian habits and say sorry. Because it's not Proverbs 2, it's Proverbs 3. Again, sorry. Let's stand up. Franny and I will read that first aloud ourselves, and then we proclaim that all together. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ears to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now all together, try to synchronize. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your hearts to understanding, a little bit louder, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Amen. Please, seat it. So, as you may be recognized, we are coming over from Switzerland to Canada. And I would like to tell you how it comes that we are here. Many people told us, why you're coming from Switzerland, that's such a nice country, why you're coming to Canada? We were also sometimes wondering about what. So, we were living in a nice house, close to Zurich, and had a good time. The company was running well. There were some problems, you know, in companies always some problems, but it went really fine. And one day, as we heard hiking, we were on hiking, the Lord began to ask me, are you on the right place? Do you living happy? You could imagine that you can move? I was a little bit astonished. And I said, yes, Lord, of course we will do what you want. Then it was about for a half a year quiet. And the Lord told me again, are you ready to move? And Franny and I were talking with each other. I was a little bit hesitating to tell her that we will move. Then we had a visitor, a prophet from Holland, and he told me once, Peter, it is time to move. That was in 2003. So I began really to ask, Lord, where you want to have us? We are good here, and there's a lot to do in the Christian world. But okay, then we began to have our image where we could go. Can I have the next slide, please? So we thought, that's the inner part of Switzerland. That's a completely Catholic place. Wonderful to live there, but we called it a black kind of country because it's so Catholic. And then we thought about another place. Next slide, please. That's a beautiful little town in the east of Switzerland. And they have wonderful cheese and wonderful other things. And we thought, oh, could be a nice place. And here it's also a possibility because this part is also very Catholic. So we saw a kind of a mission field. Then it wasn't. Once I was in my hobby and searched or flight a little bit with my Microsoft flight simulator, and I came over the Sunshine Coast. So I was a little bit astonished what I'm doing here. And suddenly, the Lord began to talk. He began to talk in a way, because we ask for wisdom, as the proverb says. He began to give me a love for this coast. It's not understandable how this love come. It can just be the Lord. So I was in a prayer time down in the lowest part of our house, and I was talking with the Lord. Lord, you mean that serious? I have such a love for this country. I have such a love for this Sunshine Coast, as I was never there, but I had this love. And he said, yes. And I said to him, but Lord, my wife is very domestic oriented. You have to do a job. And he did it. Some days later, I asked her, what you would think, very carefully, what you would think if you would be moved to Canada? She watched me a little bit astonished, who wonders. But certainly she said, oh, that could be an interesting thought. Now, the Lord talks always more. But we didn't have the confirmation. We just felt a huge desire to go there. And always ask, Lord, give us wisdom to understand what you want. We were looking for a confirmation. You know, it's good to have a confirmation to do something for the Lord. Right? Now, but there are sometimes situations you don't get the confirmation. You had to live out of our believing. And sometimes even it's better to make a wrong decision than no decision. Could you move? Could you steer a car without moving? So we made a decision. And we decide to obey, and we will have a look about the condition for a visa. Because to move to Canada as a retired person, it's not easy. Canada like to have a lot of money for to come here for retired persons. And so we applied finally for a visa. We had to apply in Paris for this visa, so we did it to an agent. And it seems to be that it works well. Then we thought, but Sunshine Coast, first of all, we don't know anybody. Second, we don't know a church. We don't know nothing about this coast, where we have to go. And a friend of us, she's sitting here in the second row, she sent us an address with the name Seashelt. So I went to the map and looked up to Seashelt and saw that this is a pretty nice little town. And I thought, yo, that's a place we could live. It sounds good. Franny came once in the morning and said, as I really was walking up, I sensed the name Seashelt. And for her, it was that really a kind of a confirmation. Wonderful. So, in all the preparation, the Lord blessed us richly. If we ask for wisdom, He gives us wisdom. We really can confirm that. It's not just what we proclaimed, maybe. It is so. If you ask for wisdom, the Lord gives you wisdom abundantly. I just connect to the last Sunday as Dan talked about this. It's really so. We experience receiving wisdom from the Lord abundantly. So I have to look where I am. So in 2008, we got this address and we decided to visit the coast and see what's going on here. We had a great time and we felt right fast that could be the place, that could be our place. In the meantime, we were watching about a house. And I tell you, we're living now in this house where we're watching. But as Franny saw this house, he said, oh, that's much to use. This garden is so big, we just in the garden. It's not possible. Okay. But then sometime changing is coming. In January he said, but now to wait 3 years to go to Canada, then I'm a very old man. That's not the right way, and we were looking for a different possibility. And I got the information for the social worker permit. So we got an invitation from Seashelt, and we applied for this social worker permit, and we got it quite fast. The next year, it was January, we got this visa, and then we said, okay, let's go again to Seashelt. And in spring 2009, we went to Seashelt again to sniff around, to see what's going on there, and we bought the house. Even this house, as Franny said, it's too huge. But it was the right choice. We signed a contract on the cars, motor, whatever it calls. And even we didn't have the final visa. But we believed if the Lord gives you wisdom and you trust Him, then you can believe it will work out. So we believed and we began to load our container. That was a big job. I wrote the book about this size with all the stuff we had in this container because Canadian government are very precise, so I had to do it. Now, we moved then in September, the 9th of September, we moved to Canada. We came in over Toronto, and I was a little bit weak in my knees as I present my work permit, but it went through in 2 minutes. Wonderful, easy. And as we came to Vancouver, the person from the car dealer picked us up on the airport, gave us the new car, and we were here. We drove to our house, and people there we've known before, they prepared us a bed, filled up the fridge, so we could live. We moved in, even we don't have the container, but we moved in and could live. That was real a blessing. If you came quiet at your home, your future home, and all is prepared, we just thank the Lord for that, because it feels great if you arrive at a point where the Lord put you. And I just encourage you, if you have some plans, ask for knowledge. The Lord gives you this knowledge. You will see more. Now, after we arrived, can I have the next slide, please? John? Next slide. Oh, yes, that's good. So, for the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. That's happened as we arrived. We saw and experienced a wonderful confirmation. He holds success in store for the upright. He has a shield to those who walk in blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protect the way of his faithful ones. And that's not a theory. That's not just a word. That's truth. That's truth and happened in our life very, very clear. So the Lord blessed us abundantly. Now, the second day as we were there, one neighbor came with bread and tomatoes and stuff. An hour later, another neighbor came and said, "You are alone here now, and I didn't see any container, have no furniture. I invite you for tonight for dinner." Wonderful. So we were very, very well received. And then I was a little bit astonished. Every time I meet people, the first question was, "How are you?" It sounds very nice. Second time, they asked me, "How are you?" And before I gave an answer, they said, "Oh, wonderful, good, good, good." I was a little bit out of shape, because why ask these people, "How are you?" and say good before they already heard an answer from me. So that was some of our first impressions. Now, you know, we had a container on our way, and suddenly we got the information that your container is arrived. You have to go to the customs for clearing that container, and we heard from several people that could take weeks. So we went to the customs with my book, and the lady behind the desk was watching all the page through, and then she asked me, "Did you clean your garden stuff?" And I said, "Yes, I did." "Nice," she said. Then she mentioned, "You have a lot of hobbies, do you?" And I said, "Yes, that's right." She took the stamp, bang, 10 minutes. Is that not wonderful? Since I'm here, I know a little bit about Canadian government. And this 10 minutes is miraculous. But please, I'm not against the government. It's not the way I like to do it. So I was still confronted with this, how are you? Because I said to Franny, something is different here. People ask you, I have to change my way. So I began to say, if I hear this, how are you? I always said, and what's about you? It always came out, good, good, good. And then I knew some people, which I know the circumstances, and asked them, how are you? Oh, good, good, good. And as I found out, these people don't tell us the truth. They just make a game. But one day it happened something strange. I was down in the main floor, and we had the plumber in our house, and suddenly I was gone. I was just flat on the floor. Franny, look about my heart rate, nothing. Just nothing. They called 911, and 911 told them how to make CPR. The plumber made CPR with me so long as the emergency was here. And after that, the plumber said to Franny, I don't know why I'm here for so long. I was planning to go at least a half an hour because something in me said, stay. You see, Lord is providing. So I was for more than a week in the hospital, about a week. Our neighbors were so nice. They helped Franny to bring the car into town and did all the things what's necessary. So we experienced the very nice part of Canadians. We are so thankful for that. Really, it's great what we experienced there. So I came out of the hospital. I had a heart arrest, so it was completely gone. And the doctors said to Franny, it could be dangerous. The heart is fixed, but what's about the brain? And after 5 days, they woke me up, and the nurse asked me, move your right toe, I did it. Move your left toe, I did it. And friends from America were here to help Franny. And I talked with his friends, my English, and meet Franny, my German. Praise the Lord. No, so far I know. So far I know. I don't have any brain damage. So then I went back to thinking about this habit of say, how are you? And begin to study the whole thing. And then I asked the Lord, Lord, what should I do? What's my task? You show me something. And if you show me something, then it's something behind. So the Lord said, talk about it. And I said, come on. You here strange, you're coming from another country, and now you're standing in front of people and talk about the habit. Sounds strange. But if you go further, I have to tell you, we love you. We love you, even you ask, how are you? We love you very much, and we are happy to be here, because the Lord led us in a wonderful way. Now, do you know that a negative thought takes no time to come in our mind? And the positive thought needs about 12 seconds. And that's an approved situation. The scripture says, if somebody tells us a wrong thing and we don't respond right, we agree with them, with the other person. If somebody tells you what is not true or how they are, and it's not true, and you don't respond, you say yes. You see that? And that's a danger. The thing is, we have to ask now, what is this? Why is this reaction in this way? And the Lord showed me something. This friendliness, which I called first, is a politeness. And the politeness, a part of the politeness is friendliness, and the bigger part is fear. Because if you're polite, then you like to please other people. You please them if you say yes, or could be maybe even your heart is against that. Then you begin to please these people that they have a good impression about you. And sorry, that's lying. We have to be real and say the truth. If we have some fear from other person, then we fear man. And man's fear, also I'm sorry to say that, that's sin. And if we have fear, a real trouble start. Because we are not on the same level of the Lord. We love other people more than the Lord. But we think, I'm not a thief, I'm not a murderer, I always nice with my wife, and so on. But there are other things in our life that are on the same level. Do you know that the Bible tells us that laziness is worse than drinking? Read Proverbs, you will see it. So, things happen in our life which we are not really controlling. These things control us. So, fear is not from the Lord, except we're standing on a cliff and the fear holds us back to step over. Or there is a healthy fear of the Lord, that's okay. But fear of man is destructive. Because man's fear is sin, and if you look up at another person, that is dangerous. Certainly, we let us control from the opposite people, instead be guided from the Lord. You hear the difference? You step out of the love from the Lord and say, this person is now more important than the Lord. You're listening to other people, how are you? And these people are not meaning that serious. What are you doing with that? Think about it, it's important. If you think that these other people, this other person which you have fear from, turns on the next corner and forget you, and the other side is the Lord, is waiting to bless you. You see this big gap between? So, second is, if we are not responding in a good way to these people which are saying you something wrong, I said it before, we are liars. Now, can I have, the nine, next slide. Here are some verses which brings us in this situation. And you see what's happened if we are lying. Or to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. How are you? Good. You know? You see the connection? Third thing is we destroying our stability in belief. If we are not reacting and not taking our place, which we have to do, then we begin to swim. What is the righteousness? What is correct? What is not correct? So we are let go our righteousness that we received as we beginning to believe. And that is really, really worse. Because we are losing our orientation. We don't know exactly what is right and what is wrong. Because we are saying to somebody didn't told us the truth, yes. We confirm that. And the other person feel confirmed. That's not okay. If we say something or we hear something, then we can say, I have another opinion, but it's your thing if you believe that. Then we give back the responsibility to the other person. We are not agreeing and we are separated from them. That's a way that needs a little bit time for changing. Then, I'm just saying between, I'm telling you that not to put you down, I'm telling that you encourage you to living according what we talked before, ask for wisdom. So, can I have the next one? Next one. If we're looking to our God, who is our God? We see here the nature of God, and we see here the nature of our enemy. Go through and see how good is God. He never stepped over his borders. He never make a connection with the enemy. He never send you sickness. He never send you any worse thing. He never blame you. He never put you down. He's always putting you up. He's there to bless you. He's there to give you choice. You give you joy. You give him you all the things for a good life. And the enemy does the opposite. I just remind you that God's nature and his way to do is always for you. Why we don't asking about wisdom and following his plan, then you are so blessed. You see, we believed, we didn't have really a confirmation, we believed we have to come to Canada to the purpose of God and how much we are blessed, tremendously. Jesus said once, 13 please, next. Yeah, thank you. All you need to say is yes or no. Anything beyond this come from the evil. Do you know what that means? To say always the truth. In a nice, friendly way, of course. But never something between. The between is a gray zone. That's the reason I don't like gray. Gray never shows a color. Gray is just blah, you know. It's not an expression. It's something I will not discourage this or will not do this. Just I find something between. It's neutral. Like Switzerland, it's also neutral. And neutrality in the spiritual realm, Jesus said, if you would be cold or hot, would be nice, but because you are lukewarm, I spy you out. You see the connections? To be gray is really a negative part. To live in a gray era makes us unsure, makes us weak, makes us adaptable. If you're gray, nobody knows exactly what you're thinking, and you are immediately in the situation of compromises. And compromises are unhealthy. Let's go on. How long you will, you who are simple, love your simple ways? How long you will mock delight and mockery, and fools hate knowledge? That ask the Lord us. That's really the thing. We have to be open and ask the Lord for change. Every time the Lord changes something in me, I get advantage. In this year, as we are in Canada, it's now almost 8 years, I learned something. In Europe, the people are confrontive. They saying always the truth, but sometimes very rude. I was in the same way. And as I came to Canada, I have to learn to be more smooth. I tell you, I'm still on the way. Now, this gray zone has a name, and that's the finalizing this morning. This gray name calls humanism and religious. Humanism, if you know, humanism comes very early in the Bible. It came out as the snake talked to Eve and said, you think God will really kill you? This question mark to make us unsure. Now, what's saying the American Association of the Humanists? That would be the next slide. Gentleness and cheerfulness, politeness, this comes before all morality. See these habits? See these problems? Gentleness and cheerfulness, these come before morality. Read for your own the rest of the text. That's catastrophic. So, think about politeness. How are you? That's very polite. But it's very gentle. It's very cheerful. But it's not the truth. And this kind of humanism is destroying our whole world. See, American government. That's so much humanistic. It goes, I like to make it short. You see TV. How much humanism comes into the TV? From the schools. In the school you hear about evolution and not about God creation. That's pure humanism. And this humanism is a negative thing. I will not talk longer about it. I prepared for much longer, but it's not the right time now. Even the Olympic Games is a result of humanism. If you like to know more, then come after service to me and I can explain you that. Humanism will believe anything but not the truth, and will tolerate anything but not righteousness. That's humanism. And that is what the most people are driven to, not saying the truth, to not take really responsibility what they are saying. Now we have the choice. Do we serve the spirit of humanism or we serve the Spirit of God. That's very clearly. That's a decision we have to make. And I encourage you, I'm not blaming you, I love you, but we have to make the decision. Think about it in the next couple of weeks. Ask the Lord for wisdom. He will show you completely what you have to do. So I encourage you to think about habits of politeness. Then change it and be real with everything, with everybody, including Christians. Here is a little thing. I was a short time a Christian, and in the morning, so on Sunday morning, people came to me with a hallelujah smile. "How are you today, brother?" "Bah," I said, what should that be? And if I said, "Not good," but "in the Lord, good." Yes, in the Lord, good, but my situation is in the moment not good, period. And that's religion. A religious is also some destructive thing. Tell the truth. Be honest. You're serving yourself, but you're serving more the Lord if you made this decision. I know politeness is a cultural habit and happens not just in Canada. It happens also in Switzerland. It happens in America. It happens in all the world. But we don't care about the others. We have to see for our own that we are changing our habits, right? So I give over now to my friend Patricia. She is for many things guilty in my life. I appreciate her very much. She is leading Franny and me to a lot of things and she helped us in a lot of spiritual things, and I'm happy for her. Please. He's here. One. Yeah. Okay.
First of all, it's a joy to be here and to meet all of you. It's just thank you. It's wonderful. And I love this Sunshine Coast. I've been in Seychelles many times years ago, and I'm very happy to be here. But what I want to say to you and encourage you today is this. Who are you? What is your identity? Because it's so important that we really know who we are. Who we are. Because when we know who we are, we're secure. We're not afraid. We're not intimidated. We don't have to prove ourselves over and over again. Who are we? Well, we have a pastor here. We have Peter and Franny from Switzerland. We have a worship leader. That's not their identity. Their identity, as is yours, is we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are royalty. We have authority. Our Father is the ruler of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. It's all confirmed in the Word of God. Who are we? You know, Jesus has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. Have you ever read that? And what did Jesus do? He said, "I came to destroy the power of the enemy." Is that right? The works of Satan is probably more scriptural, but it means the same. And in Ephesians, we are told that we are seated with him in heavenly places in the Spirit. We're seated. We're at rest. We're at rest. And where are we seated? On the mercy seat, where we have to beg for mercy? Where we have to work to get fit in to the body of Christ? No, we are seated on the throne of grace. On the throne of grace. You see, he loves us so much. He loves each one of us just like we are. just like we are. He has such a love for us. He has chosen us and the good plans for us before the foundation of the world. Us. Who are we? I used to say I'm just a little lady from Idaho. That was before I got confronted once. This was in Holland, in Europe. I got confronted. He said, "You're not a little lady from Idaho. You are a daughter of the Most High God." Well, that took a while. And I can just tell you this. And I'm going to stop. I just wanted to encourage you. For 30-some years, I ministered all over the world. And then God touched me deep, and I began to understand in my heart, not my head, I am a daughter. That's my identity. Not what I do, not where I'm from. I'm a daughter. Do you know what that did when I really got grasped that? I'm not intimidated. If you don't like me, well, I just still bless you and love you. That's okay. But it doesn't bother me. It doesn't offend me. I'm not going to think about it again. But I didn't used to be that way. And I'm not going to give you a big testimony. I'm just going to encourage you. Each one of you here are sons and daughters of royalty. You have already been accepted in the beloved. He tells us this in Ephesians. You are accepted. You are brought in already. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. But when he was done, he said, "It's finished. Everything you gave me to do, I did." What did he do? He made a way for us to come right in with him, with Father, with Holy Spirit. We are so loved. And of course, the love that the Father has for us and Jesus has for us is nothing like anything we can imagine. It's so beyond that. But I just encourage you, that's all. Take a moment this morning. Who are you? What is your identity? People ask me, "Well, you're a Christian. Well, you're this, you're that." And I say, no, I'm a daughter. Because being a daughter and understanding it, and you've read it. I can see you've read it before, but it's real. It's here in us. He has improved it. Who lives in you? You know, you're born of the Spirit. You're not born of works. What do you do to be accepted? You're born of the Holy Spirit. You're born into that nature of God. You are made in the image of Christ. It's so beautiful. And we can look at ourselves and say, "But I did this wrong. I did that. I can't do this. I don't know that." I used to say that, even when I was in ministry. But it doesn't matter because it's finished. He did it. He already paid for us. So bless you as you go forward and reach your full potential, because he has great things for you.
Thank you, Peter, and thank you, Patricia. Church, we are going to move into a time where we take part in communion. And as we do this, I want to invite you and I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to consider what you've heard, how God has spoken, how he has perhaps prompted you into a life of truth. I want to encourage you how maybe he's reminding you through Patricia that you are a daughter of the Most High God. You are a son of the Most High. And so as we take communion, what we're going to do is a little bit different than normal. What you're going to do is come down and take the bread and the cup. And rather than eating the bread right away, bring the bread and the cup back to your seats with you. And then we will take part together. So if I can invite Anita up, I think she's going to give us some keys here. I just want to invite you to stand. So Lord, as we stand, we say together that we are your church. We are your people. But first and foremost, we are adopted into your family. And in that adoption, we aren't just forgiven once, we are forgiven forever. And so from that place, church, I just invite you to pause right now. And maybe there's something that you need to bring before God, something you've been holding. Maybe there's an offense or something going on that you need to bring before the Lord or bring before another. And so I just invite you to make your way forward as the time is right, and pick up your bread, pick up the cup, bring them back to your seats, and then we'll pray and take them together. I'd like to invite you to stand.
We are so very thankful that you gave us yourself, Lord, your broken body, that we might be whole, that we might be complete. And you said, whenever you take of the bread, whenever you take of the wine, remember me. And as we take of the bread today, we remember you, we think of you, and what you've done for us through the brokenness in your body to make us whole and complete in our bodies, in every part of our being. We're so thankful. Now we ask, Lord, that as we take this and we look to you, that you are pleased. You are pleased that we can bless you and thank you from every part of our being for what you've done for us. And we thank you now. We bless this bread. In Jesus' name.
And so we hold in our hands the blood of Christ that is the new covenant, that is invitation into freedom, invitation into life, invitation into forgiveness. And so we remember you, Jesus, and we give you thanks. We remember the sacrifice, we remember the love, and we remember the gift that you give us. So I invite you, I invite us, church, to take, remember, and drink. Amen. So, church, we are going to move into a ministry time. And I just want to remind us that we're going to have prayer teams up here at the front. If there is something that you are moving through, where you need the wisdom of the Lord, I want to invite you, I want to challenge you, I want to say that the best place to find that is not on your own, not in isolation, it's to find that together. If you are facing some kind of struggle, if there's something that is wrong in your spirit, if there's something that is wrong in your body. Now, we serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who's invited us to come to him and to receive his touch, to receive his healing. And so I just want to invite you to make your way forward so that we can pray and so that we can see God's love in action. Be blessed this week, church. I invite you to go from here with the joy of the Lord. Amen.